News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Oh, wrong show.
Hey, you know what?
What?
You're on the air, by the way.
I know, I know.
We made it to March 13th, 2021. How about them apples?
God.
And also, today we're going to talk about the U.S. Army, how they used airplanes in search of Pancho Villa in the Mexican Revolution. But ahead of that, there was a bunch of airplanes in El Paso we'll talk about. We'll get to that in a bit here. Otherwise, good morning. We got this El Paso history thing going. Are you surviving?
I'm surviving. It's cold again.
How are you doing your surviving?
Ah, just hanging in there, working, having a good time.
Oh, well, cool. Anyway,
looking at Facebook. Hey, I'm doing fine.
Ah, you're good. AM 690 is where we do this. And also, we are streaming live on the El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page. And additionally, remember in El Paso Win, that Facebook page as well. And this is the place where we say,
Texas history begins in El Paso.
Oh, my God. We need to do a
Well, you got
now.
That remembered because it's written right in front of
you. It's like, there it is, yes.
You can handle this.
Okay, well, I want to remind everyone also that you can listen to us live anywhere there is internet service via ktsmradio.com, and we are part of the iHeartRadio.com family. So, you know, you can check us out there.
That's cool. And so we have a history moment going today?
Yes, we do. We're talking about one of the many stories about an infamous Eastwood High School cannon called the Blue Whistler.
It ended up in Eastwood, but it had an incredible journey to get there. Okay. Also, just to let our sponsors know, we have been in the past doing a lot of announcing about them in the beginning. We moved all that to the middle. I was told to do that. So we're going to do that from now on.
Okay.
We'll get to these guys because we need them. Oh, yeah. We got a new sponsor.
And it's great to talk about them, too.
Well, not only
they're local businesses, and we like supporting
local
businesses.
They're helpful to us, and it's good to have them doing their thing. We're adding a new one. I'll give you one clue. You already know who it is, so don't say anything.
Oh, yeah.
You know what the clue is?
What?
Orizaba.
Orizaba.
All right, think about that for 2 minutes.
I'll get them confused.
Good. Anyway, we got the topic for our radio show today. We're going to explain the early use of airplanes on the Mexican-U.S. border for surveillance in the Mexican Revolution. And we welcome our dude, Mr. Historian Extraordinaire, Dr. Troy Ainsworth. Troy, how is the world treating you?
Pretty well. Good morning,
hey,
Melissa.
Troy.
Good morning, Jackson. How are y'all?
We're good. Thank you. Welcome here. But also, what I found out by looking into this, because you said, oh, this would be a two-hour topic easily. I said, oh, really? I started digging into this, goodness gracious, you're right. The airplanes on the border with the Mexican Revolution was just one event.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, the stuff that happened ahead of that. So where do you want to go with all? There was a major aeronautical show in El Paso way before the Mexican Revolution really got rolling. Actually, as it got rolling. Well, that's the whole point. As it got rolling, there was an air show. What about that?
Let's start right there. You know, in November 1910, the great declaration from Francisco Madero inciting a revolution against Diaz. That declaration really didn't materialize, remember?
Yeah.
So you had this downtime. And from November of 1910, when everything seemed to be on the verge of erupting in Mexico, so you have the United States watching anxiously, officials in Washington, in Austin, all along the U.S. border. Everyone's paying close attention, but nothing's really happening. Madero comes over to San Antonio, awaiting the appropriate moment. And as that moment begins to build, and the way it was building, as we all know from our many discussions about the revolution, men began to take up arms, they began to organize into military units, and a real physical violent threat began to present itself. And when it did actually present itself at the beginning of February 1911, it was at Ciudad Juarez. All right. So Ciudad Juarez becomes the epicenter of a lot of attention in early February 1911. Now, if you were writing a really bad postmodern semi-comic play, you would probably say something like, as a revolution was building in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, William Jennings Bryan arrives in El Paso to visit his good friend, Zach Lamar Cobb, and to be feted and dined at the St. Regis Hotel at the exact moment that a troop of seven international aviators arrive in El Paso to regale the people with an aeronautical display at Washington Park.
Troy, you're talking about 1911?
Mm-hmm. 1911.
When did the Wright brothers fly their thing? When it was 03?
18? No.
No, it was 03, 1903.
Was it?
December of 1903. December 17, 1903, there in the sand dunes at Kitty Hawk in North Carolina.
It took them, what was that? Do the math for me. It took them 8 years to figure out how to have an air show.
That's technology.
Exactly.
That's outstanding. So they're having an air show in El Paso, and they couldn't fly those planes here, right? They had to put them in on rail cars?
They did. What they would do is this troop of aviators was managed by a gentleman. His name was Peter Young was his name.
Well, I think we have newspaper ads of that we can put up,
yes.
Newspaper ads that were running and announcements. From what I remember on some of these announcements, they were going to give you free rail fare to El Paso if you want to come see this thing. Didn't I see that in there?
They did a lot of that back in those days.
Yeah. Oh, there's just reduced rates on all railroads right there at the bottom, sure enough. Okay, I'll keep going. So you got this air show, you got the Mexican thing going on, and somehow they got together.
They did. And what was really interesting, newspapers across all the way across the country were already writing about and discussing what was considered inevitable, that an insurrection force under Pascual Orozco and Francisco Villa, under the overall titular command of Francisco Madero, would attack Ciudad Juarez and take, if they could take the city. This was considered the key, the opening flame for the revolution. You take Juarez, and all of a sudden, an overall national uprising against Diaz will be possible. So even though Juarez is far removed from the geographical center of Mexico, the center of power and everything else, you take it, you hold the north, and you can control ultimately the destination of the destiny of the country was the thinking. So that's the military side of it. So you have a civilian troop of aviators. I mean, they're Swiss, they're French, they're American. They have just done a show to great numbers of audience participants in Houston, Texas. The press is writing about the battle that is about to come. And these gentlemen are en route from Houston, Texas, on the railroads to El Paso. And that's really where the story begins. So, to set it all up, we have a battle that's about to begin. We have a three-time presidential aspirant showing up in town. Has nothing to do with the story. It just sounds kind of cool. And we have seven aviators, their manager, and a lot of acclaim on their heels en route to El Paso. So we've set the stage.
Troy, let me ask you about that. You know, it's funny because that was the beginning of a whole new technical age in transportation and travel. But like I said, and also combined with the Mexican Revolution, I think one of the excitement behind that was people could actually see a war up close. And that's kind of interesting when you compare back to the Civil War, where people used to come down to the banks of some of the areas where they were actually having battles. And they would take picnic baskets and watch. And that's kind of what happened here, too, right?
Oh, yeah. like the Battle of Antietam. That was really sad. They went out to watch it in their fine dress. They turned around being ambulances.
Yeah, to bring
take
the
wounded
back,
out of there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's weird. Okay, so keep going. You got this Mexican rebel across the river. You got these aviators coming in to fly around. What were they using, the same gasoline that was in the cars, or they had to bring their own, or how does that work?
Yes, they would. They would bring their fuel. They would bring their group included. If you think about a rock and roll tour, okay,
yeah,
it's a real good analogy,
mm-hmm,
because you have roadies who handle, you know, all manners of things, you know, setting up microphones and speakers, and they help with sound check and tuning guitars and setting up drum kits and the whole nine yards. All right, but they also break everything down and pack it all up, you know, and head out for the next show. I sound like Jackson Brown. so, you know, it's all right there.
No relation.
Well, yeah, there you go. So there was a large group of mechanics, you know, and assistants who helped build the aircraft, because they would be assembled and disassembled, you know, after a show for transportation.
And if you forgot a couple of bolts, the top wing would fly off, right?
Right.
So don't do that. Okay.
You break it down, put it in a crate, load it up on the train, and head up for the next destination.
Got another question for you about that, just as we're talking about that kind of issue. Did anyone calculate how the airplanes would function with their gasoline engines or whatever they were? Did anybody ever calculate the altitude and what effect that would have on these airplanes?
Not directly, but it became, I mean, you're only 7.5, 8 years after Kitty Hawk.
Right.
So there's still a lot of experimentation that's going on and a lot of trial and error. The El Paso Herald, other newspapers, when they were reporting how the aircraft, as the air show actually began, and how the aircraft were performing, you'd often see a reference to how an engine would sputter,
uh-huh,
because of this elevation.
Right.
Lack of oxygen.
It wasn't at sea level. You know, you're much higher. These problems they became evident very quickly in the performance of the aircraft. I mean, remember, these things are the drone that someone can go purchase today is a much more sophisticated aircraft than those airplanes in 1911.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
And, you know, when you're talking about a powerful engine, when an engine that is 155 horsepower is described as the most powerful engine on the Earth, 155 horsepower.
That's amazing.
That's not much. Yeah, that's not much at all. It's a go-kart has a more powerful engine.
That's right. Weren't the Barnstormers, though, like kind of like the first early test pilots in the way? Because the Barnstormers, who used to go cross country performing and doing acrobatics and such with their planes, they pretty much set the trail for a lot of people beyond that because of what they did and the things that they experienced.
That's right. And the barnstorming in the 20s, you know, right after the first war, in the 20s and the 30s in particular, they are the exact descendants of these early pioneer aviators in the previous decade.
We're about to take a break here, Troy. Before we go, I want to ask you, how did the barnstormers make any money off the crowd? You don't have to go to the grounds to see this air show.
You got charged.
But you don't have to go there. You can go 2 miles away and see it.
Right. I'll give you a good example. A town would promote that they're going to have an air show, and it would be held at a place like Washington Park. In order to be on the grounds, you'd pay the admission fee.
Okay, well, sure, I get that. Well, you could get sit outside the fence and see the whole thing.
And I we'll get to that point when we come back from the break.
Okay.
I'll get to that point.
One last thing before we go to break. Where was Washington Park? The Coliseum or where? Somewhere down in there. The zoo?
Over where near the zoo is, yes.
I remember used to have a big duck pond. I remember that duck pond. Okay.
Yeah.
Taking a break
that's
here.
Where it is.
Troy Ainsworth, otherwise known as T-Roy.
T-Roy.
He's on the radio here. Dr. Dude from New Mexico talking about stuff on the border. And it has a lot to do with the Columbus issue. We'll get to that, obviously, in a bit. But the whole idea of aviation on the border, wasn't that kind of like another first for El Paso? Didn't this kind of thing kind of like happen here and not a lot of other places?
Not only is it a first in El Paso, on February 10, 1911, the very next day, printed in paper, was the announcement that a very first military event occurred, and it occurred in El Paso, and that is when a civilian aviator actually flew a heavier-than-air craft over combating lines during actual war.
Wow.
And didn't get shot down. Fair enough. Troy Ainsworth.
It was not shot down. Yes, that's a good point.
Put yourself on hold a little bit. We're going to take a break here and come back in a minute. We've got Facebook running up here. We've got a whole bunch of people already looking at us. We'll talk about them when we come back. Yeah. Fair enough?
Fair enough. So.
And also, enough. We're ready to go. We'll take a call. You want to?
Yeah, well, let's also mention that you can watch us live on our Facebook page, El Paso History Radio Show.
That's right.
And then also you can give us a call at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell properties. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca at 915-592-4549. Call Monterey Asset Management to discuss your personal financial needs at 592-4549.
Hey, your friend Sean Hannity here with some personal advice. As an active investor in properties, I know there are a lot of details when selling a property, and that can mean thousands or even hundreds of thousands of dollars difference. Now, there are various companies that will offer to give you cash up front. Be careful. Now, often there are dramatically lower prices or hidden fees that the average person can miss, and that can cost you a lot of money. That's why I prefer to work with a great, smart real estate agent that truly knows the local market and can give me the most money in my pocket. I'm talking about Brian Birds, brokered by eXp Realty. Now, Brian services the entire El Paso area. Now, his system is so bulletproof, well, he can create demand and sell your home at a deadline that you're due, or he will buy it himself. Call the only agent I would call in El Paso. Call Brian Birds right now at 751-1500. That's 751-1500, or online at brianbirds.com. That's Brian Birds, BURDS.com.
Newt Gingrich, explaining the worst kind of identity theft, a crime that can cost you your home and is not covered by insurance or standard identity theft programs.
Your credit card company called to say there are suspicious charges on your card. That's simple identity theft. It's annoying, but they cover it. The type of fraud you really, really need to worry about is home title theft, a devastating crime that takes you off your home's title. That's why I have Home Title Lock. The title documents to our homes are kept online now. The thief forges your signature on a quitclaim deed stating you just sold your home, and he's the new owner. Then he borrows on your home and leaves you in debt. You won't know until late payment or eviction notices arrive. The instant Home Title Lock detects someone tampering with my home's title, they help shut it down. Let's get you protected. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you're already a victim, and enter Newt for 30 days of protection at HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patsy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 14 Urbino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
You can send us an email, ephistory690@gmail.com. We'll take a look at that. I'm looking at it right now, and nobody's talking to us yet. But if you wish, that's nice. Otherwise, the Facebook page, Melissa's monitoring that stuff. I think Andrew in the control room takes a look at most of that stuff.
Yeah, he does a good job on
but
that.
But there's another situation going on here, just to let you know about stuff. We have outputs. Every Saturday, we sit here and talk radio. It goes on Facebook, and we're cool. And archives there. We've got an archive on the normal ephistory.com site for audio. But we also have a TV channel. And if you want to really learn some interesting things about El Paso and take your time looking at at stories. There's over 120 videos there. I think at some point we're going to archive all these shows there as well, but they're not there yet. This is 120 videos without that. And we have one set. Oh, you're killing the plant. The plant committed killing. Anyway, it's a visual. You don't know about this on radio. Anyway, go to youtube.com/El Paso History TV. Rummage around in there. You will find all kinds of amazing little tidbits about El Paso history. And some of them are cataloged into playlists. We have one playlist that was the ABC 7 pieces we did for about 2.5 years with Bernie Sargent as the main guy. And you'll see him in a cowboy hat wandering around El Paso looking at all kinds of stuff. He still does that, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
We
He's
just have
doing
to take
it all the time.
Take a camera again.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we took a camera, chased him around, and there's 20 segments on there. And if you watch all 20 of those, you'll get a much better idea of what El Paso is in relation to world history, because we did a bunch of those kind of things. Another playlist on there is all of the TV documentaries I did back in my day. I quit about 3 years ago. I had too much fun doing it, so I quit. That's work.
Never have too much fun.
Well, you know, back in the day, I used to be able to get some grant money to pay the phone bill. Then everybody and their brother now does videos on their phones.
Oh, yeah.
And outdoes anything else. And I don't think that the quality we did, but, you know, people look at those and say, oh, that's good enough. Anyway, so those old videos, they're evergreens. I mean, Waco Tanks, Gunfighters, Mountain, Legend of the Mountains, the Killing of Asarco. I should use that term. The last tour of the El Paso Smelter. Anyway, those are all on there on El Paso History TV channel on YouTube.com. Also, you can subscribe there, and we will automatically give you notices of stuff coming out. And I've got a bunch more stuff I'm going to put up there, so you'll be getting notices. So what do you got? You got something?
Well, I want to mention the Blue Lady has always been a great topic on the show. People love to hear about. Well, Martha Vera, she's the honorary consul of Spain for El Paso. She's going to share the history and her research on the infamous Lady in Blue via a webinar on March 21st at 4 p.m. The webinar is being presented by the Cultural Heritage Society of the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro. I know. Whew. A new nonprofit formed by Alborrego in San Elizario. You can register for this webinar at culturalheritagesociety.com. And Al Borrego will be on the show next month to tell us about his new nonprofit mission to promote area history. More people doing that. That's great.
He's taking a large vision of the Camino Real from Mexico all the way up to Ojinaga, whatever it is, about the other end. And it's a cool look what he's doing. He's got cousins and sister cities all over the place.
Yeah, and we got a lot of people checking in with us from out of the area.
What do you got?
We've got a gentleman by the name of Dennis Kohler from Albuquerque who's tuned in. We have a local, I believe, Martin. I'm going to have trouble with this, Martin. Amesquita, I think, is how you say that correctly.
Okay.
If not, he'll let me know, I'm sure. Angie, of course, up there, our regular listener from Colorado. She's it's snowing, so she's real happy.
Oh, good luck, Angie. I talked to her this week earlier.
Oh, did you? Yeah. And Barbara Given-Bainey from Remember in El Paso Inn is checked in. She loves the photos that they're being put up. And then I've got a question for Troy when we get back.
Oh, here.
You want to
ask him, Victor Guzman. Yeah.
Yeah, Troy, if you're listening, I hope.
Of course he is.
Well, there he is.
We've got him nailed down. He can't leave.
Wait. He's being quiet. I don't know what to do when he's like that. So.
And this must be a radio first. There
I know.
You
saw it here and heard it here. Okay. This is from Victor Luciano Guzman, and he says that there's a song or corrido that he says that the Villistas captured an airplane that landed, but of course nobody could fly it. And has Mr. Ainsworth heard of that, anything, or heard anything like that?
You know, there was during the punitive expedition, several aircraft were assigned to Pershing for the 8, 9, 10 months that he was in Chihuahua. The aircraft, those Jennies, really were unreliable. They were prone to engine breakdown and all sorts of maladies. And yes, there was a plane that did wander off course and had engine trouble and went down.
All right, Troy, let's hold that for when you get to the Mexican Revolution. We haven't finished the air show.
Yeah, now the air show itself.
Go back to the air show. Yeah.
Okay, that air show, there was a very interesting dynamic. Now, of course, it's an international, it's seven different aviators. They are highly acclaimed. They are, you know, they're very much celebrities, both in Europe and the United States. And here they are en route to El Paso, and there's a sub-story that begins to develop between the War Department and officials at Fort Bliss. With these aviators approaching and scheduled to be in El Paso from February the 9th to the 13th for the show, and with the outbreak of a battle that is anticipated to begin, discussion begins, what if some of these aviators could be used to fly and observe what is going on the ground in Ciudad Juarez?
So it wasn't just a happenstance they did that. This was planned. The Army said, hey, go take a look.
It was, because there was a second plan being hatched simultaneously.
Okay. Tell you what, I hate to do this to you. Put yourself on hold. I know you can do it. And we're going to take another break here at the bottom of the hour. The control room wants me to do that. I mean, what do they know? Besides, that's
you're getting a signal.
Yeah,
okay.
Getting the look.
It's El Nino, Andrew J. Polk in there. And we do his, I call screen his show Monday through Friday. He shows up and does this show, everything. It's on Facebook because of him. It's on radio because of him. And everything else is because of him. So when he says take a break at the bottom of the hour, I try to do it. Cause
I know.
Basically, okay. Andrew's in charge of 690 a.m.
He has the key.
He's pretty much
it. You know who the jefe is. Okay.
Well, and yeah, he's a little bit junior to me. He is my relative. But on the other hand, he knows what he's doing. And he's got a Monday through Friday show from 4 to 5 p.m. called Talk El Paso. Boy, howdy, that's starting to get hot over there. I think that thing's going to succeed well. It's really rolling. Anyway, in the meantime, we've got to take a break here. That phone number's out there. In fact, the phone number, I think it's on Facebook. Or you want to put
it? It's on Facebook, but you can also give us a call at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-815-4342. That's 800-815-4342. 800-815-4342.
Everyone loves The Office. Admit it. You wish you had a Dundee. Instead, you have this. The Office Deep Dive Podcast, hosted by Brian Baumgartner, a.k.a. Kevin from The Office. Every week in this new hilarious podcast, Brian sits down with one of his old friends from The Office as they discuss their favorite moments on set and never-before-told stories.
Your kids watch that?
Never.
No, come on.
They've never watched it.
Listen to The Office Deep Dive on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all about the nose. It's your air filter, the first line of defense against bacteria and viruses. If too many germs get stuck in your nose, guess what? You get sick. That's why it's so important to keep your nose clean, just like washing your hands. Nasal irrigation gets rid of germs by rinsing the nasal cavity, but neti pots are hard to use and, frankly, kind of gross. Now there's a better way to keep your nose clean and help your body protect itself. It's called Navage Nasal Care. Navage uses powered suction to flush out allergens, mucus, bacteria, and viruses. Millions use Navage for fast, all-natural relief from sinus congestion and allergies, and to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and feel healthier without drugs. Navage is easy to use, affordable, and comes with an absolute guarantee of satisfaction. You wash your hands and brush your teeth every day. Now it's time to start cleaning your nose with Navage. At Navage.com, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, Target, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
Some big news. Since Election Day, almost 5 million people have downloaded the free Newsmax TV app on their smartphone. You can trust Newsmax TV. Watch it for free anytime and go to Newsmax.com for breaking news. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. Call your operator if they don't carry it. Plus, watch Newsmax on Roku, YouTube, Apple TV, Zumo, TiVo Plus, Pluto, and smart TVs like Samsung and LG. Newsmax is real news for real people. Start watching today.
Let iHeartRadio be your one-stop audio destination for celebrating Women's History Month. Great stations powered exclusively by females, like iHeart Country Women, Women of R&B, Women Who Rock, and many more. Playlists personally curated by some of the most influential women in music, like Taylor Swift, Mariah Carey, and Shania Twain. Plus, tons of featured podcasts like Ordinary Equality, The History Chicks, and the iHeartRadio Podcast of the Year winner, Office Ladies. iHeartRadio, number one for music, radio, and podcasting. All in one app.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Say, you want to celebrate our mountains?
Sure.
Okay, here's the deal. You got Jim Tolbert out there. He's got the regular thing going on. He runs that nonprofit called that, Celebration of Our Mountains. Their 2021 programs have begun, as we know. Hike to Dripping Springs and Big Eye Canyon. What in the world is that?
Yeah, I hadn't heard that one.
Next Saturday, it's 8 a.m. Call up Jimbo. No, he's Diego.
Diego.
Call up Diego. Yes. Anyway, he said it's an easy four-mile round trip into the canyon to see the spring and the ruins of the old sanitarium in the Van Patten Hotel. And you can walk to Dripping Springs or just go to the ruins. But also, you can continue on and end up somewhere up called Ice Canyon. I wonder if on its 80-degree day, it's going to be an ice canyon. I don't think so.
Today it might.
It's got a chance. March 27th, 10 a.m., we got another thing. They're going to walk a paved portion of the Playa Drain. I don't know why that's interesting, but call up Jim and ask him. He is at 525-7364. Jim Tolbert.
Mission Del Rey Southwest is located at 1421 Suite A7 at Lee Trevino and El Pelicano, and they're open Monday through Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. They've got great gifts like Native American jewelry, Southwest decor for your home and office, and they're just a great business to be around. They're a great local business. And if you can't seem to find the store, you have questions and want to do some online ordering, you can also go to missiondelray.com or call them at 915-440-2140. And then our friends over there at Monterey Asset, a top property management company for over 35 years, they'd love you to visit their new website at m1ep.com and learn more about their company and what they do. You can give them a call at 915-592-4549. Pepe's Restaurant in Canutillo is open today for in-house dining, and they're located at 6761 Donovan Drive. And their phone is 877-2152. And don't forget, it is the home of the one and only
Margarita.
Yes. Looking to sell, buy, or rent a home? Or do you have a home, or do you own an income property that needs to have a top-notch management company manage your property? Then call Chris or Patrick Tuttle at Legacy Real Estate Services, a one-stop shop for real estate. Visit LegacyElPaso.com or give them a ring at 915-588-1850, and you'll probably talk to Patrick.
And a new sponsor.
And, yeah, we got a new sponsor coming up next month.
Okay, if you can guess it, you'll be a hero. I don't have a prize.
Yeah.
But what we have is, here's the
I have a pencil we can give him.
Well, we could give him a pen. I could fit him. But, you know, the prize thing doesn't work here anymore. And there's nobody at the front desk ever. So, anyway, but the new sponsor coming next week. If you guess it, that's cool. I'll give you one clue. Orizaba.
Tell us more.
No. I'll give you another clue next week. Anyway.
Okay.
Got back to Troy. Troy, we left the air people hanging in the air, and it's really interesting that I didn't realize the U.S. Army had sort of planned on this local group of aviators just happened to have a show, and they knew there was a battle coming in Juarez, and so the Army actually asked them to go look it over?
They did.
Oh.
And they had it was the backup plan, if you will. All right, so what was the top priority? Lieutenant Benjamin Fulloy, pioneer aviator in the Signal Corps, United States Army. He is at Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, Texas. He is directed, General Leonard Wood, of the Chief of Staff, with the authorization of the Secretary of War, Dickinson is his name, orders Fulloy and his men to and go over to El Paso in advance of the outbreak of the battle. It just so happens that Fulloy, on a test flight, crashes his Wright brothers' designed airplane, and he wrecks it.
Oh.
The U.S. Army has one airplane, and he literally just destroyed the American Air Force. I mean, it sounds terrible, but it's...
It's true.
Weird.
It's true. Okay. There were six different aircraft that were in production that had been ordered, and, you know, the money had been appropriated for it, and they were being constructed, and they were to be quickly completed, those orders completed, and sent to El Paso. But Fulloy has this mishap. The engine fails. He's about 1,000 feet above the ground, comes very close to dying in this crash, but does not. So the War Department is stuck with a problem, and what they decide is that they will take both they'll extend an invitation to this traveling group of civilian aviators, and much to their delight, they received a favorable reception. The three French aviators, René Simon, René Barrier, and this might be a name that you recognize, Roland Garros. Those three volunteered to fly over Ciudad Juarez.
So that's why there were no U.S. military pilots involved?
That is exactly it.
Wow.
There was one aircraft, there was one workable aircraft, and it was now damaged in that mishap over in San Antonio. But it just so happened that right then, at that very moment, you've got a train heading to El Paso that's loaded with aircraft that are civilian airplanes. So it was a fortunate happenstance. But the weather in El Paso it was very much like we're having today.
Blowing.
It was cold and it was windy.
Oh my!
So the air show was supposed to begin on the 9th of February. And the wind keeps them grounded. But it was the very next day, on the 10th, that among the entire program of aeronautical stunts and touch and goes and altitude, that Charles K. Hamilton made one of his flights is when he took off from Washington Park and he flew out toward the west and made a great big circle, and he came back and landed. It seems innocuous, and it was the very first instance of a flight for a military observation during combat.
1911.
February 10, 1911. Washington Park, over Ciudad Juarez, and back at Washington Park.
Did he have a radio to talk to the Army, or did he come down and write notes and hand them to somebody, or what happened?
The intent was for him to carry an observer,
a second
person who could look through field glasses and make some observations, and then those would be conveyed to officials at Fort Bliss.
But they didn't have a radio. They didn't have radios back in those.
They did not have a radio.
Yeah, okay.
No. All right, so the story is in the paper that these civilians they were dubbed the Birdmen, which I think is a beautiful term. The
sure.
Birdmen are coming to El Paso. The Birdmen were known, I mean, this is publicized in the newspaper, So it was not a, it's not any kind of military secret or anything like that. So the consul, the Mexican consul in El Paso, his name was Antonio Lomel. He warned officials at Fort Bliss that if a pilot flies over the river and you know, basically violates Mexican airspace, that plane will be fired upon.
Ooh.
So this was a real threat, and nonetheless, Charles K. Hamilton decided to risk it because there was an assumption that his altitude would be sufficiently out of rifle range.
Ah.
That was the assumption.
Uh-huh.
All right. There's only one way to test it. Right?
You're right.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can hit that. Let's see if we can hit that thing.
Yeah, that's right. And it made an attractive target. So Jackson, back to your question a little bit ago about, well, what if you just went 2 miles away and you didn't go to Washington Park? All you need to do is look up in the air. There's only going to be one airplane.
Right.
It's not going to be flying too terribly high.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the on the next day, on February 11th, in the local newspapers, the write-up about the flight that Charles Hamilton made, one of the points that was written about, and it's a nice description, is that as he took off from Washington Park, he was not terribly too much higher above downtown El Paso. And people could hear the plane. Mm-hmm. You know, these are noisy, cranky devices. Yeah. And, you know, so it's up there. He's sputtering around. He doesn't fly very fast and all that. And people stopped in the streets, and they're watching. And they immediately began, just like it's described in David Romo's book about a ringside seat to a revolution, people found their way to the rooftops of downtown buildings in El Paso, or they found a place to observe and could watch his flight. It was a major spectacle.
Oh, yeah.
It was so incredibly interesting. And he did indeed fly over when an arrangement had been made between the pilots and military officials that upon returning, he would anything that was observed would not be conveyed to anyone but military officials at Fort Bliss.
Well, yeah, don't tell the newspaper guy. Good Lord.
No, because it was in the press. I mean, you know, so both Hamilton and Roland Garros made a flight. There were two of the seven aviators actually flew oversee that Juarez.
Interesting. Troy, another break here. Got to take another break here. Hold yourself, figure out where we're coming back, because that was an incredibly significant part of aviation history. We'll get to that. And as we do take a break here, we got more people. You had Harry. Herbert.
Yeah, Harry. Well, Hebert, I believe. But I'm always insulting Harry's name. That's for sure.
Von Felich.
He's listening in from, I believe it was Salem, Maine. And he was mentioned, you know, just wanted to say hello to everybody and that he really enjoys, likes listening to what he's talking about. And then we also have Michael Parra. And he's listening to us and saying good morning to us. And Adri Carillo, if I have that correct, he's saying, cool, well, thank you. Really appreciate the people listening to the show and commenting.
He's in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Yeah.
That's where he lives.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Well, he was in Virginia for a while. Maybe
he moved.
He's been getting around.
He'll let us know.
Yeah. He's close to Kitty Hawk, where it all began.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's in touch with our emotions.
And he's done a great series, or some books about the Mexican Revolution and the German involvement, which is just absolutely fascinating. You said he was writing a new one. We need to have him back.
It looks like that on his page here.
Yeah.
All right. Looking at people on Facebook, if you want to put your face up there, go right ahead.
Yeah, put your
face
up.
We'll talk to you. Getting back in a minute. Otherwise, put something on Facebook. Nobody seems to want to call us on the phone. We don't care. because, I mean, have a great time talking to Troy,
yes.
Right? All right, Troy, put yourself on hold, Troy, and Andrew will be back in a minute.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
We sat down with Mark Weber, Deputy Assistant Director for Public Affairs at the U.S. Department of Services, who spoke with us about the importance of providing the public with the information they need to feel comfortable about getting the COVID-19 vaccination.
Folks have a lot of questions about the vaccine and should they take it or why should they take it. So one of the things we're working on is providing the public information they can use to make the right decision for them and their families. And we want people to be comfortable with that decision. And we're working on some advertising to help people understand the vaccine development process, what vaccines have done for this country over the years in terms of protecting public health and improving the quality of our lives. And the COVID vaccine itself, is, again, it's going to be a game changer in our national fight against COVID.
iHeartRadio will continue to keep you informed with the latest coronavirus news. For continuous updates, check out cdc.gov/coronavirus.
Staples has the technology, furniture, and supplies you need all at low prices. This week, earn 25% back in Staples Rewards when you spend $75 on ink or $175 on toner. In-store only. Offer ends 3/13/21. See staplesconnect.com/ink rewards for details.
iHeartRadio with the latest info about slowing the spread in 2021.
COVID hospitalizations nationwide have dropped nearly 50% in the last month, and we now have vaccine options. Many of us are asking, which vaccine should we get?
We have three highly efficacious vaccines that are safe and efficacious. That's the bottom line.
Dr. Anthony Fauci says when available, get the first one you can. And in the meantime, stay vigilant.
Everything you need to know at cdc.gov/coronavirus.
News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
A lot of things going on here. Just normally we tell you about the McGoffin Home because they are one of the most interesting historic things here. It was an Hispanic family named McGoffin, and you start with that. And the whole place is a state historic site, open by appointment these days. They got to let me know. Anyway, tuck Gloria down. I forget how to do a tour. McGoffin Home, state historic site. It's 1120. Guess what street it's on?
What street?
McGoffin Avenue.
Oh, that's right. I can't forget that one. The McGoffin House on McGoffin.
It's not Orizaba.
Right across the street from Octavia Street.
Well, that's an intersection. that's an intersection. Anyway, 533-5147. What do you got?
Well, Jay Duncan is back the Sunset Film Society. We're really excited for him, and he's been in intermission for a while. And he wants to announce that the Sunset Film Society returns on Sunday, March 28th, with a special drive-in movie and takeout dinner at Artavino's Desert Crossing. And they're located at 1 Artavino Drive at Sunland Park. They'll be showing the movie Moon's Nicolas Cage and Cher. It was a pretty good movie. And it'll start at sunset. This is great news for the Sunset Film Society, which has been in intermission, like I said, since March 2020.
He's eating all the popcorn.
I know. He needs to share it with everybody. And Jay's a film historian, educator, writer, archivist, publisher, collector, and host. And he'll be on hand to share his wonderful knowledge and trivia about the movies and the stars. So for more information, prices, and reservations, you can call Artavino's Desert Crossing at 575-580-653. I can't think of, that'd be a great place to watch a movie.
Oh, it would be.
They got that parking lot out the base of the building.
You can't keep him down. He wants to do movies. Also, we found another group of people looking at us. Cindy Malazzo, she's on there. Henry Reyna, and it says two other people. Who are they? They like the radio show. Linda Kennedy, Nick Gale. Let's see who else is on here. All kinds of people. You click around, you'll find all this stuff. Oh, and Vince and Gogi.
Oh, Vince and Gogi down at Brown Acres. Yes.
Brown Acres is the place for me. Anyway, hey, Troy, we got about 2 minutes here left in this hour. You're going to stick around for next hour. We got to get into the punitive expedition and the airplanes because, I mean, that's next hour.
Happy to.
All right, finish up what you can here with this Washington Park. Now, did they figure out how long did it take them after they did surveillance? The Army then got the info. You said by some method they told somebody because there was no radio.
There was no radio, so upon landing, basically Hamilton and Garros gave just basically gave an oral interview, if you will, to military officials over at Fort Bliss. That was just, they were interviewed for their observations. They were not publicized. Both of the flights were, Hamilton's was the longer of the two. He basically made a big sweep around the west part of Ciudad Juarez, observed, and the only comment that he would make to publicly is he simply said, well, it appears there's a large army over there in Juarez.
That was it. What a surprise.
That is just a hoot.
Yeah, exactly. So whatever he and Garros told officials at Fort Bliss is not I'm unaware of, but they just observed, and that was it. It is a small moment, but it's a real big, significant event in military and civilian aviation. And what is when we come back in the second hour, one of the things we ought to talk about is the long-term significance of those two brief flights on the border. That's what we really need to focus on.
One quick question before we go to the break, and that would be, when did they figure out they can drop dynamite from an airplane?
You know, that was actually under discussion and practice at that very time.
How long a fuse, and how much, if you're holding a cigar, can you light it in the flying airplane and all that
before
stuff?
Before it hits the ground,
and
yeah.
That was one of the practical problems that was addressed in the opening weeks of the war that would begin only three and a half years later.
Oh, yeah.
In Europe. And I want to get back to one of the aviators, Roland Garros, and he plays a part in the events that are going to take place in 1914 in Europe.
Fair enough, dude.
But we'll get to that.
We will. Okay. Troy Ainsworth is on the phone here with us from Las Cruces. Appreciate you doing that. Talking about military and commercial aviation in El Paso in 1911. We're going to move that up to the Mexican Revolution after the break. You coming back?
I'm coming back.
Oh, yeah, you better be here.
I want to hear more.
See you then.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita, and by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690, KTSM, El Paso.